MojoBreak.com.
Pack rippers and sports nuts, welcome to the MojoBreak.com sports card podcast. This is episode 14. Like Pete Rose, I'm sliding into second base. Yes, just me. Flying solo for this segment. Dan took his talents to Arizona, Scottsdale area, having a totally sober spring training, watching some baseball, taking some notes. Maybe he'll come back and have a prospect segment as he's totally just focused on the game. No beers, just taking notes, just putting in work for MojoBreak.com. So, but I am here with Siri. Say hi, Siri.
Hello, Siri.
Well, she's not very entertaining, you know, as you can see. But we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. We have a news segment that we're going to go into, talk about some football stuff, Manning, you know, upcoming releases we're going to go ahead and preview. We got three products we're going to review. I'm going to do tribute by myself because it's totally hot right now. Just came out last week. You know, everybody's a buzz about it along with Heritage. Not going to review Heritage yet because we're still waiting on our case. But we're also going to, once we come back from break, we're going to review Five Star Baseball and Contenders Football because football products, those are hot right now as well. So it's an exciting time for our hobby. The Summit's right around the corner. I'm going to talk about a little bit of Las Vegas stuff for all you folks that love the Summit, who are going to the Summit, who wants to know about the Summit. Maybe you guys haven't even heard of the Summit. So I'm going to go into a little bit of detail about what's going on there. All the card people, behind the scenes people go to Vegas and talk about how we can make the hobby better. And once again, totally have no drinks at all, just totally focused on work, you know, being in Vegas. Nobody gambles or anything like that. But topic of football right now is Manning. Where's Manning going? He's met with a few teams. I heard rumors that Arizona was going to have a press conference a couple days ago about the signing of Manning. Didn't happen. He met with the Titans. You may be listening to this, and the news is already broken. Broncos are in the mix, which is a little bit surprising due to Tebow's success. Especially in the hobby, people that have Tebow cards that are PCing are like, what the hell is Manning even in the consideration for this spot? So there's a lot of buzz, and it affects a lot of different things in this hobby. You know, depending on what team he goes to, it makes those receivers obviously a little bit better. Larry Fitzgerald on Arizona, obviously, is already a pretty collectible player. But say he has Manning on his team and he, you know, flirts with Randy Moss's record for next year, they're going to see a boom in Larry Fitzgerald's rookie cards. Now, if he goes to Tennessee, you got Kenny Britt. Maybe some receivers get signed. Kenny Britt's cards start to go up. Hopefully he can bounce back from last year. Chris Johnson maybe benefits from it. So it's going to definitely be interested. And these card collectors, I seen on Panini's website today that they're gearing up for Prestige. They already have different designs of Peyton Manning in Arizona uniforms and Titans uniforms. And it's crazy what Photoshop can do because it pretty damn well looks like he's been playing in those unis. So you know, I know Manning didn't stop by Panini Studio and take pictures in all those uniforms. That would just be damn near impossible with his schedule. So, you know, it's crazy. But I'm interested to see how it goes. I was hoping that he'd go to the Niners, but we're not even in the mix unless all of a sudden we come in late. Alex Smith did well. You know, he managed the team. I call him a poor man's, or not a poor man, but a Trent Dilfer of the Ravens Super Bowl season. He definitely manages the game, and the Niners are based around defense, so all you need is somebody that can manage the clock and hand it off to Frank Gore and, you know, throw to Vernon Davis every now and again. So another thing that Saints Bounty Gates, the Saints team is probably happy about the Manning news because all of a sudden, the talk last week was Saints team, and now it's about Manning. So they're like, they should send Manning a little Christmas card and say, hey, thank you for taking the spotlight away from us. Because Greg Williams, who signed with the Rams, is probably going to be suspended. I guess the Rams already have somebody to fill in. Dan's a little butthurt about that. But hey, you know, as long as the coach stays the same, Jeff Fisher obviously is not going to get suspended for something the Saints did. So Rams made a big splash as well. Crazy trade. Washington giving away the farm, I think, on that trade. I mean, how many draft picks just to get Robert Griffin? I mean, that's pretty much like a 36-1 bet. That's like going into playing roulette and put your money on, you know, one number and hoping that you hit, you know, now that the theme is Vegas. But it's definitely a crazy situation, and hopefully Robert Griffin pays off for them. It looks like they went out and signed Josh Morgan from us, a few other receivers, I think Pierre Garçon, so they're getting some veteran backups behind them as well. So interesting season. Moss goes to the Niners. Pretty low risk, I think, but it's pretty crazy. There's also the Brandon Marshall deal where the Bears reunited Brandon Marshall with Jay Cutler, which there's rumors saying that supposedly Brandon Marshall has this court case that's pending. You know, it's allegedly, once again, that he hit some woman or something like that. He says, smack the hoe, something like that. I think that's what they're calling the trial, the smack a hoe trial. I don't know. But that's what the terms are. They basically just let him go for like a second and third round pick. So obviously there was something there, you know, why they wanted to get rid of him. Because they were in the hunt for Manning as well. I don't think that Manning wants to, they have no receivers at this point. They got Devon Bess in the slot. They got everybody's favorite token receiver, Brian Hartline, you know. And Reggie Bush had a good year. So I don't know. Miami seemed like the front runner at first because they said Peyton Manning's wife likes the area. Peyton has a house there. So it looked at first like Miami might have been a destination, but, you know, trading Brandon, unless they got something else up their sleeve, I don't think he's going to wind up there. So, you know, it's definitely crazy. But I wanted to talk about Panini addressing customer service concerns. Everybody hates redemptions, missing hits, things like that. It's something that I guess they're going to talk about at the summit on how to make things better for the collector. I mean, it has to happen. Not all these guys can sign cards. I mean, people, these guys got lives, you know, they have family. I mean, just think about how many Cam Newton autographs were signed. I don't know. If I had to put a number on it, 10, 20,000, that's probably not even close. It's probably like 100,000 to 200,000 autographs. And I don't know if he signed them all at the rookie premiere or what. Because he's in every single product, and none of his stuff was redemption. So give credit to where credit was due for Cam Newton to working out that right hand, you know, signing some autographs. Because all that on-card stuff obviously had to be signed probably rookie premiere. So, you know, he signed a lot in a little period of time. So, once again, you give Cammy Cam some credit. I remember back in the rookie premiere day, he was rumored that he barely made it. He was like undecided on whether he was going to make it or not. Could you imagine how big of a blow that would have been to the hobby if Cam Newton doesn't show up, doesn't sign, and we just have redemptions? I mean, that just would kill. People not pulling any Cam Newtons out of packs or anything like that. Talk about just a buzzkill. Because, I mean, Andy Dalton did well, AJ Green did well, but you could see Ingram at the beginning of the year did well and then fizzled out. There's a few guys that Kyle Rudolph didn't really get a chance to play. You can see from prestige down to where we're at now in the hobby how these guys just kind of fall off. But Cam Newton stayed strong. So Cam Newton five-star cards are selling for like $700. So, but what Panini did is they want to address some service concerns. And supposedly they revamped the way that they were doing business. People were claiming that they tried to call Panini and nobody answered the phone. They forwarded your call to Domino's Pizza. You got Blade in the mailroom. You know, things like that. There was just all kinds of funny stuff going on. And, you know, Panini's making cards. They you know, worry about the back end later. I don't know. You know, customer service is always a priority, and it's a good thing to know that they've actually ramped that up and fixed that and hired a few more people on, you know, tried to get less redemptions, but, you know, you have to have redemptions. It's just not possible to get away from that. So, you know, it's cool. And I'm glad that they're making it a topic of the summit. And we're going to have summit coverage. So check out mojobreak.com. If you don't have us on Twitter, add us now. Mojobreak_com is our Twitter. Follow us. We're going to have videos. We're going to get a black box because we're going to be there. We're going to get two of those. We'll go into that in our Vegas segment here. So follow us. We'll have coverage. We're going to have interviews. We're going to be doing another podcast in Vegas. We're hopefully going to have a whole slew of guests as long as they want to come on the show with us and talk about cards. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. So, you know, usually Mojo Break lags and we get a podcast out like once a month. You're going to get another one in like a week. So it's going to be like, get your fix on Mojo Break podcast. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, I wanted to talk about shipping etiquette. I've seen it on some forums. I know that I pay attention to this when I'm shipping out cards. We do breaks, so we ship out on an average per break, you know, 15 to 30 packages. So protecting cards to the utmost. When we did our Mojo Tastic patches and ink is when we did a mystery packs where we had Bryce Harper and stuff. We bought a bunch of cards on eBay, and I would say about five out of 30 were acceptable on how they shipped them. I mean, people either overdid it or they underdid it. I mean, I got $30-$40 cards in plain white envelopes. I got cards not in top loaders. Shipped not in top loaders. Thank God it didn't get dinged. But, I mean, you got to think that somebody pays a lot of money for these cards. Let's protect them. Especially if you're going to charge $3 shipping. Because I know any card shipped in first-class bubble mailer costs you $1.70. So if you're charging $3 shipping on eBay, should be no excuse for you to ship the card without a top loader, without a penny sleeve, in a plain white envelope. It's just absolutely crazy. So you're reaching for bad feedback. So I just wanted to touch on a few things for people that maybe don't know. Maybe you just don't know. Maybe you just started collecting it. You have no clue. So, I mean, what I do is we're privy to a lot of dummy cards, meaning, you know, when you open a pack, there's these white cards that are in the pack to kind of throw pack searchers off. So we get a lot of those. So we put those in our bubble mailers. We use, I think it's 4-0 bubble mailers, which is 4x6s. Those are, you can fit 4 to 6 cards in there. What we do is we put our cards in a penny sleeve, a top loader, and then we put them in a team bag rather than taping the top of the top loader, because not only does it ruin a top loader, it makes it hard to get the card out later. So it's totally acceptable to put it in a top loader, in a penny sleeve, in a team bag. And then for the other protection, we put the two dummies in the team bag. Or you could even get away with one, because that's going to keep it from bending. So, and then obviously, I like to do, if a card is valued over $50 or more, I like to put signature required. That way it protects you. You know, nobody can come in and take your card and say, hey, I didn't get it. Next thing you know, your $500 card that you sold, is you get bad feedback and, you know, you're out of the $500. Because when you know, as you know, eBay sellers lose all the time. It doesn't matter. The guy says he doesn't get it, he's not happy with it, you get your money taken right out of your account. No questions asked. And then they fight. So they basically shoot first and then ask questions later. And it's in totally protection of the buyer. So, you know, you got to watch out for that stuff. Speaking of eBay, selling on eBay, I wanted to touch on the 101s that people are selling on eBay. It gets a little ridiculous. I can kind of feel when it's the guy's number. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a 101. I would add it as an extra selling feature. But people are just getting crazy with, you know, the number 1 out of 100. It's a first print run, therefore it's a 101. You know, it's a 100 out of 100, therefore it's a 101. You know, it's just, when I search for 101 on eBay, because I just want to see what's out there for 101s, right? Maybe I can get something for $80, a super fractor or something of some guy who's not, you know, terribly big right now, and his super fractor is undervalued. Maybe I can get one. I type in 101 and I get these cards that are numbered to like 550. It's like ridiculous. You get Jordan Todman. You know, it's like pretty soon somebody's going to say it's number 4 out of 10 and the guy was born on the 4th month and he took 10 poops in one day. So it's a eBay 101. I mean, it's like, how creative can people be? And now I understand you want to sell your cards and maybe that's an added feature, but we need to kind of stop that. We need to maybe just sell the cards the way they are. The number's cool, but anything beyond selling a 101 as the numbers, and it shouldn't even be a 101 because it's not a 101. It's number 40 out of 100. Jordan Todman's number is 40. It's not a 1 of 1. It's a print run of 100. Let's get that straight. So, you see some crazy stuff on eBay. I mean, there was also somebody, if you're hip to it now on eBay, they gave you a lot more words to type on eBay. So you have a lot more length of, I think they added 25 more characters. So if you look on a phone before eBay did the update, you wouldn't get the whole listing on your phone. So it would be 30 of the 55 letters. So this guy was selling a Bryce Harper redemption and the last word of the listing was used. Yeah, total tool, right? The bid was up to $150. Now, I don't know what the value is on a used Bryce Harper code, but I think $150 would be a little excessive. You know, I might shoot him a 2 spot for that, just to have it, maybe. Maybe not even that. Maybe 50 cents shipped in a plain white envelope. But obviously, by putting used at the bottom, people weren't paying attention. Now, I don't know why people would want to make their living deceiving people, but it's going on. It's going on eBay. You know, just like people getting clever in their listings, you know, tribute Hank Aaron auto question mark. So when people search Hank Aaron, they get Johnny Spot's box on eBay. So definitely interesting. You know, it's there's a lot of thievery out there. I mean, eBay, a good thing about eBay is it obviously does protect you, like I said earlier. So I don't know if you guys trade cards, but I ran across this crazy freaking trade of epic proportions, like thousands of dollars of cards exchanging hands. Don't know if it was done on the internet. I hope not, but it could have been. But basically, this guy traded for one card, and I'm going to tell you what he traded. This is what he gave up. It was a one-of-one Franklin Delano Roosevelt cut auto from Top Sterling, and this is from Blowout Forum, by the way. That was one card. Also, a 2012 Leaf Oval dual cut one-of-one of Rutherford B. Hayes and Lucy Hayes on the back. So this is what he gave up so far. I'm going down the list. John Stockton, National Treasures, Logo Man, on card, auto, 1 of 3. So it's a sweet looking card. It's a game used Logo Man. 2011 Topps Inception, Cam Newton, numbered to 25, on card, auto. And we all know how beautiful those Inception cards are. And a, this isn't just and, there's more. 2010 SPA Michael Jordan auto floor. 5 of 5. It's a game used floorboard, and then Michael Jordan signed on. It's got the North Carolina logo because Upper Deck doesn't have NBA licensing, but still a sweet card. You got a 2011 Bowman Chrome Brett Lowry gold auto redemption. Yeah. So that's, you know, Brett Lowry selling well. You got a Miles Head Bowman Chrome 1 of 1 Canary. A 2011 Francisco Lindor gold auto from Draft, a Larry Green orange auto, all for one card. Now, if I had Dan here, I'd have him guess. And it doesn't sound cool when I'm talking to myself, you know. I'd probably sound like I'm a little crazy, and Siri, you know, probably won't be able to answer correctly. So I kind of put Siri on the side. But he basically traded all those cards for a Babe Ruth cut auto. From Upper Deck, number 2 of 3 from Legendary Cuts. It looks like it was 2001 Legendary Cuts. If you could do a search and find this, the Babe Ruth auto looks a little off. It's a clean auto. I mean, it's one piece of paper. There's no other writing on it. But it almost looks like it's Babe Ruth. So, I don't know. You know, obviously Babe Ruth is going to hold his value. So the other cards that he traded, you know, beyond the cut autos of the presidents and stuff like that. I think he did pretty good. I probably would rather take a gamble on like the Brett Lowry and the Cam Newton, you know, to keep its value. I like quantity over quality personally. I'd rather have more than you know, less, of course. But somebody did the math, and the Ruth sells for $6,000, and the other cards right now value about $5,400. So came up on that one. So plus, how many people can say that they have a freaking Babe Ruth auto, especially on a print run of 3? So it's pretty insane. So, you know, Babe Ruth. Hopefully one day I will own one. Maybe I'll get lucky and pull one in a pack. Probably not going to have enough trade value for that because most of my cards aren't worth that much. But I collect prospect guys and stuff like that. Also wanted to found another thing on the forum about Mike Vick. Mike Vick in a pet store. Yeah, you would think he'd maybe banned from pet stores, especially if there's a canine, you know, people, dogs, boxers, puppies, things like that in there. But no, he's in a pet store, claimed this gentleman on the forum. So this is also obviously alleged. But the gentleman had his son with him, and they apparently asked Mike Vick. Yes, I shortened it to Mike Vick, not Michael anymore. Asked Mike Vick if they could take a photo with him or get an autograph, and Mike Vick gave him a dirty look and turned around and walked away. This was apparently in the fish section of the store. Now throw in your quips about fish fighting. I know that's what you're thinking, and you know, Is he fighting goldfish now? Maybe a smaller level. Maybe it's legal to fight goldfish, but I don't know. You know, I know athletes are very busy these days, and they sign a lot of autographs for card companies, let alone all the people that see them in stores. And, you know, this guy's just trying to hang out. You know what I mean? He's just trying to hang out. So, I don't know. You know, but I just think, especially if there's a kid involved, if it's some D-bag who's, you know, just starstruck, you know, that would be one thing. But the fact that there was a kid there, and, you know, kids looked up to athletes, and, you know, I definitely think that he should have taken the time to sign the auto and, you know, take a photo with the guy, do a little Facebook shot. I don't know. You know, that's just me. So I don't know. But I've had good – when I was a kid, I had good run-ins with athletes. No one was too much of an a-hole, or they had the time for me. So, but, you know, guys get busy. And then apparently he left away – he ran off in his 300M, his brand-new 300M. So in other news, Panini, four products this month. One got pushed back, but – are we muddying the football card market? I think so. You know, when, especially if you're a shop owner. So four cards, you got Totally Certified. They have National Treasures. They have Prime Signatures. Mojo Breakline. They have, there's two other ones, Prime Cuts Football. There's like four coming out, right? All in a month span. If you're a shop owner, especially with Panini's map pricing, right, you have to sell a box for no less than whatever the map pricing is for the first month. So you don't want that many products coming out. Why would you invest in 12 boxes of one product for your store when next month something else comes out? And people don't want that. It's an ADD hobby, and Panini makes it worse by releasing so many goddamn things within a span of time. Football season's over. Are they just trying to keep it fresh in people's mind? Don't know. You know, that's what's crazy about it, is four frickin' Panini products. So National Treasures is obviously the staple, but they didn't need to do Totally Certified. That was a football product, or a basketball product. They didn't need to do this Prime Cuts, and they didn't need to do this playbook stuff. So those were all new additions to this year's product. Let's focus on National Treasures, and let's build up a buzz and make shop owners some money. That's just my opinion. Because if you pull a Cam Newton, the next week there's another Cam Newton 101, and then the week after that there's another Cam Newton 101. It's like, yes, it's a 101, but it's the 89th one of that year. So in the grand scheme of things, we're doing what we did to ourselves in 1980, when we made so much product that all of our sets when we were kids, at least when I was a kid, 80s and 90s, they're not worth anything. I was a big Stadium Club collector back in 91 when that came out. You know, the full bleed, the photo cards, awesome. I had the Frank Thomas rookie, the freaking Jeff Bagwell. My dad would, you know, we'd go out to the local card store. We were set building, you know, and at one point that set was worth $300. Now, 15. Big drop. Things get older, they're supposed to go up in value, or at least stay the same, right? Well, there was so much overproduction, and that may be what we're doing to ourselves with this. So let's, you know, I understand it costs licensing costs money, you know, paying these guys costs money, marketing costs money, getting autographs costs money, and maybe they have to hit a quota in order to be a profitable company. I get it, but it just seems like the cards are just getting devalued. So that's just my take. That's one guy's take, and I've been honest with everybody from day one. That's why our reviews are honest. We're going to be at the summit, you know, and I'm going to be a straight shooter the whole time as well. I don't want to sugarcoat anything for anybody. We do everything. We like products. We don't like products, and we probably see it more than anybody out there because we're breaking cases. We're breaking multiple cases. We see the whole correlation of the product. So not a whole lot of people can say that. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I'm just giving you the facts here. Yu Darvish, yeah, he's the guy to collect this year. He signed an exclusive deal with Topps, so you're not gonna see him in a unlicensed product by Panini. Well, Topps holds the baseball licensing, but they signed an exclusive deal. So there's a lot of products he's gonna be coming out in, and he's creating quite a buzz. His card, his first auto and tribute looked like it went for like $1,000, number to 24 or to 25. So it's pretty exciting for the hobby. I mean, every year we have some guy that's collectible. I don't know if he's going to be the guy this year, but it certainly looks like he has a good lead in that aspect. So obviously whatever translates on the field is going to be how his cards go. So But that's a lot of coin for a redemption card. And he's going to be in, I believe he's going to be in Thompson Museum Collection. They have him in, I think, Gypsy Queen. So they're definitely ink that deal, and they're going to pretty much profit, you know, use him to guide some products. Yeah, Gypsy Queen, Museum Collection, 2012 Bowman. He's also going to be in Finest. So going to be a lot of Yu Darvish rookie card autos out there, but that was beyond my expectations for that tribute card. But you know how many boners there are when somebody pulls the first of whatever it is. I mean, obviously, the Rally Squirrel, for example, somebody overpaid by, what, $500 for a freaking Rally Squirrel card? When there's probably 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 1,000 of them out there. They're short prints, yes, but $600 just to be the first person to get it. And you may not even be the first person to get it because you may buy it from New York. You're in California. By the time the guy ships it to you, somebody that's maybe closer has already bought one for $100. So, you know, people get over anxious. And obviously, if you're on the side from profiting from something like that, yeah, more power to you. But it's people get really, you know, little chubbies when they see the first card of something out there and they have to have it. So it's like, just hang back, bro. But like I said, the excitement of this hobby, the excitement of being the first to own it, you know, you're building your PC, some people have unlimited incomes. I don't, but some people have ridiculous amounts of income and they want to spend it. Good thing about the hobby is, you know, at least you're getting something, whether it's if you go to casino, you gamble on black, you're walking away with nothing, maybe a free beer or something. At least if you buy something like a Yu Darvish card, you have something that's tangible that you can sell later if you need to. It's kind of like a stock. We've compared it to that in other episodes of this podcast. Cards are like stocks, especially when you're prospecting. You're taking a chance on a guy that has never had a major league at bat. I mean, there's some crazy prices. I fortunately opened a box of Bowman draft, and I got a refractor for a Bubble Starling gold card, gold autograph, number to 50. So, yeah, it's a $60 or $70 box, and I might get $900 for my card. So that's a reward. That's you know, paying off there. So I'm probably gonna sell it, you know, because Bubba Starling's 4 to 5 years away, and the value of his cards right now, I don't think it's gonna go up. He may. Who knows? The guy's got raw ability. So the guys are going to buy it from me are obviously prospecting themselves. They want the card to go up in value. It's off to getting graded right now, and I'm hoping for BGS to send me a 10-10. You know, that'd be awesome. Looks like most of his cards are getting a 9.5 with a 10 autograph. So he's got a clean signature, so I don't doubt that I'm going to get a 10 autograph on it. But that's my first actual BGS story. I've never sent anything into BGS, but I spent a little bit of coin to get it there. If you've never done BGS, it's basically, you fill out a form, especially if you're a first-time customer. You need to print out the form. You fill it in with the player, the year, and then you decide if you want two-day service, which is their most expensive turnaround, which is $26. It's $26 to grade the card within 2 days. And then I chose the two-day shipping, which was another $26. And then I also sent it priority mail. So all in all, it cost me about $70 to get this card graded. Looking back on it, I probably should have sent in a few more of my cards just so I could take advantage of the money, the shipping fees, and stuff like that. So it wasn't well planned, but if you want something quick and you want it fast, the fastest way through BGS is you're going to spend about $70. Now, I cut out two pieces of cardboard and I put them together and on top of the card and taped the card inside in a team bag and a top loader, so it was ultimately protected. So, which is funny because we talked about shipping etiquette, but when you get a redemption from Topps, they don't pay attention to the shipping etiquette rules. It's an envelope. It's not padded. It's got a little thickness to it. Comes from TriStar, which many of you have already, you know, if you're in this industry, you get cards from TriStar. They must handle their redemptions, but it's not padded, and it's not in a team bag. It's taped. So maybe somebody needs to speak to Topps and say, hey man, who knows? The card could be bent. I mean, they could easily bend the card if they ship it that way. And the card I got is a $900 card. Who wants a bent $900 card? Topps is going to have to pay for that. And, you know, it's a fiasco. It's a fiasco for the collector. It's a fiasco for the company. So, but anyways, you know, it's the Yu Darvish thing is good for the hobby. There's a lot of good products coming out from Topps. Freaking baseball's back. Spring training, people are getting excited. You can see products like Bowman Draft and Elite, their cards going up in value. So On some lighter news, Eddie George, yeah, you know, the running back from the Titans, was found in a car with a drunk blonde LPGA golfer at 2 a.m. Yeah, Eddie George is supposedly happily married, but he was found at 2 a.m. in Florida with Rachel Connor, who's 21 years old, and supposedly she was giving him a ride home. Connor blew a fairly impressive blood alcohol content of 0.137, so 13% of her blonde body was alcohol. So the legal limit's 0.08, so she almost doubled it. So she claims to only have had two vodka cranberries, but she weighs 140 pounds. She would have had to have had at least five to be of that legal blood alcohol content. But anyways, you know, I don't think they lie detector test you, you know. George said the two are just friends. He said, you know, I'm not giving her the meat salami yet. No, he didn't say that. I'm just making that up for comedic effect. But he said, you know, they were just hanging out at some event, and his best judgment was she could drive, you know. She was like, I'll take you home, Eddie George. You do the Heisman pose. Something like that. I don't know. That was my best impression of a drunk blonde girl. But if you ever meet a drunk blonde girl that sounds like that, no. No. Turn her down. Turn her down. So, Rachel Connor, yeah. But I did want to talk about the industry summit. Today's the 15th. You may not listen to it today, obviously. I may not even get it up today. Get it up, meaning the podcast, not to be, you know, back on that Eddie George story. But it's going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Yeah, lots of events. It's going to be at the Orleans, which I hear is a classy little joint. Classy little joint. We decided to book our room there so that we can roll down the stairs into the event room. I mean, walk. Why would we roll? Come on. Come on. So we're going to go there. We're going to try to shake hands with the elite of Panini and Tops. And, you know, there's all kinds of events going on. There's sessions for brick and mortar stores. And that's the main part of the event, is for the brick and mortar store, apparently. You know, they still fuel the industry, and local card stores are king. You know, even though we have an internet company here, local card stores are king. So there's all kinds of rumored events. Trenton Richardson is going to be there signing autographs for us. Just Mojo Break. They're coming just for Mojo. No, I'm just kidding. For all the attendees there, Trent Richardson, who's rumored to go to the Rams. So, you know, that might give Dan a little wood, might pop a little chub. Getting a Trent Richardson autograph. I know he wants Blackman, but I don't know why. They're saying they're thinking Steven Jackson's back from carrying the team. Days are over, and they're going to get Trent Richardson. But I don't know. But anyways, it'd be nice to meet the what was he, the runner up or third in the Heisman voting. So it'd be nice to meet him. There's all kinds of classes. There's grading and authenticity. There's e-marketing. I think there's about 200 to 300 people going. I could be totally wrong, but anybody who's anybody behind the scenes will be there. You got your Tracy Hacklers, your, you know, Mark Wassup and stuff. All these big name people, Mark Zapier, you know, all these guys that run these companies are going to be there. They're having different luncheons. Every day's got something else. They're giving away free stuff like crazy, which I like free. I don't know about you, but I like free. I like free stuff. So the Panini Black Box is what I'm excited about. So it's basically what it is it's a black box with an encased one-of-one card. And there's Cam Newton, there's LeBron James, there's anybody and everybody. Basically how they make these cards is they take some of the designs from this year's cards, like Rookies and Stars, you know, Contenders, and they're kind of ideas that maybe got thrown out or cards that were left over. They stamp them one-on-one and they put them in this box. So I remember last year we didn't go to the summit, but the secondary market on these black boxes were crazy. I don't think we're not going to sell ours. We're not going to sell our black box because we want to open it and we want you guys to see what we get and, you know, totally be excited because personally, I've never pulled a 101 for myself. Well, I have. I pulled a Madison Bumgarner 101, but it's not too often I pull 101s for myself. For Mojo Break, I think we pulled like 50 101s. I mean, we get one all the time because of the amount of product we open, but it's going to be exciting. So we'll decide what to do with that. Apparently, Leaf has a pop culture icon that's they haven't released the name yet, and I'm totally excited about that. In fact, props to Ryan Gray for retweeting our tweet on Twitter. Look at that tweet, twat, Twitter. Say that five times. retweeted our tweet, and you know, we're excited about whoever it's going to be. Pop culture icon. I'm kind of hoping it's a Kardashian. I'm kind of hoping Kim, maybe Kim Kardashian. You know, the show's kind of, you know, falling off a little bit. Maybe let's get her in front of some collectors. You know, I'll say what's up. Say, Kimmy, what up? Mojo break? No, I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be. Last year it was Dennis Rodman, so I'd like to meet Dennis Rodman. Shake his hand and then wash my hand. You know, don't know where that hand's been, but, you know, maybe Pete Rose. I think Pete Rose showed up last year. Maybe I'll go play a blackjack table with Pete Rose. Like a $1 table. No, I'm just kidding. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. There's all kinds of, there's a Topps bowling bonanza. I didn't know they had a bowling alley at the Orleans. They're gonna treat us pretty nice. I mean, it's gonna be a fun day. We set up some meetings. Rumored we're gonna be on Sports Card Radio's podcast. Hopefully they will be able to meet up with Colin and maybe have him do our podcast. Trying to get to Hackman, Chasey Hackler. I don't know if that's his nickname. I made that up. Try to get him on a podcast. Maybe do a group break while we're there. So we're excited about that. And flying out to Vegas Sunday morning. So we'll be there till Wednesday. And going to be some man sodas going on. Maybe sports books. You know, sports book going on. You know, it's funny. I think a lot of collectors are gamblers. So, you know, Vegas welcomes us with open arms. They welcome any gamblers for that nature with open arms. So should be a pretty fun event. I'm totally looking forward to it. And main thing for us is we just want to shake some hands and say, hey, this is what we do. And we got a podcast and, you know, we do group breaks and hi, you know, hi, hello, hey, what up? You know, whatever they say in card language. So, just kidding. Speaking of card language, I was reading something on Cardboard Connection of the words of that people don't like, that are annoying in the industry. Base topped the list, which I know I say base all the time, especially when I'm breaking. I don't want to say the name. I say base. So, base is base, right? I mean, we're in an industry where it's pit oriented. So, maybe I need to come up with another name for that. Maybe shit. Maybe poop. Maybe, I don't know, white card. Maybe not as enticing of a card as the one that's going to be in the middle of the pack. Or, I don't know, maybe if you guys come up with some better words, just jump on Mojo Breaks forum and put something. Also, apparently Mojo made the list, which I agree. I freaking hate the word Mojo. The freaking word Mojo it sucks donkey balls. So, with that being said, I think we're going to have to find a name change. I think we're going to go awesomehitbreak.com or printingplatebreak.com or, I don't know, superawesomebreak.com, totallyradnessbreak.com. It just doesn't roll off the tongue, so I think we're going to stick with Mojo for now. But if you have any ideas, you know, shoot it, run it by us, because we're open. We're open to that. We're into that. We're into changing the name. We'll sell the name. You want to place a bid? Throw it up on eBay. Place a bid on Mojo Break. Maybe you can have it. Proud owner, MojoBreak.com. Now, I don't know. I'm coming off the top of the dome on this one. I have no plans for this. I don't even have a computer in front of me right now. I'm just coming off the top of the dome. Just straightforward shooter on this. But before we go to break, before I got off on another tangent and you guys unsubscribed to the podcast, I'm going to get into tribute. We busted 8 boxes of it so far. And, you know, I went on forums the day that it came out and I thought I was going to be disappointed, but I wasn't. I actually was pretty impressed. Last year did really good. So the allocation. What allocation is Topps, you know, pre-sells it 4 months before, and then about 2 months before they go, oh, wait, you know, we have 1,000 pre-orders. We're only going to be able to fill, you know, 700 of them. So then we got our orders scaled back. Other people got their orders scaled back. So you don't quite get as much. So that creates a buzz and drives up the price. We know now that every product that gets allocated and we get less of, like Bowman last year, on the secondary market, the boxes go up, and collectors not only pay for it, but it tends to be a set that people like and are sought after. But get into my tribute review. I'm gonna do the base set and design. I think it was a really nice looking card. It's got a little bit of shine to it. You got the great mix of vets, legends, rookies. So it's a pretty sought after card. Very elegant looking on the card. I mean, when I pay $300 for a box, I do want to see the base card reflect that. I want to see a base card that it looks like tits. You know what I'm saying? It's the tits of the set. So, I mean, base cards obviously aren't the reason you bought that box, but base cards are, you know, it's an added bonus. And some base cards, you know, you can get some money out of. You get a Babe Ruth numbered parallel, you know, you get some money on it. Now, the design is there's three base cards, I believe, three to four base cards, and then the numbered parallel of the base. And they can range anywhere from a 101 up to, I think, to $599 or something like that. So it's pretty exciting set. And then the encased hit was a nice touch. I know I'm talking about base set and design, but I do think that it was a nice touch. It was added late, so I don't know if their thought process was that they didn't know if they were going to fill the shoes of last year's product, so they wanted to do the encased hit to add some added bonus. I don't know, but it's a nice addition, and I don't know if it's going to raise the value of these cards down the line because there's a seal on it. So obviously, if you open the card, you're going to break the seal. So, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, you know, a Josh Hamilton jersey piece that's still sealed might fetch a little bit more than one that's not sealed. So I didn't try opening them without breaking the seal. Maybe that is possible, but I think it's an added value. So you know that nobody finger fucked your cards, basically, to put it in a layman's there, that no one dipped their fingers. No one teabagged your cards. You know, no one wasn't in their dog's mouth. You know, they didn't go outside and smoke a pack of cigarettes while holding your card. I mean, they could have, but it's just on the outside of it. You know, I don't know if smoke-free home is a selling point for some people on the card industry. I know when you buy clothes, obviously, or shoes or stuff like that, but I'd like to know that my cards came from a smoke-free home. You know, I don't want to smell nicotine on my top loader. But so base set and design, I gave it an A. Autos, I gave it an A. I mean, people are complaining that there's not jersey autos, and I do get it, but they're on card. You can't have on card and jersey autos. It's just not possible. So I'd rather have on card and do away with the jersey autos for now. I do have a little soft spot in my heart for last year's, you know, set with the jersey autos, but on card autos, they pulled it off. There's not a whole lot of redemptions. I mean, they got a pretty broad spectrum of who they had signed, so you know it was pretty incredible. I mean, they do have the redemptions, but the redemptions are guys that you just simply are not going to throw out of the set. Obviously, Yu Darvish, Ken Griffey Jr., you know, Hank Aaron, which we got in our break, so those guys can't be thrown out of the set, so they have to have redemption to those guys. And yes, the redemptions are encased, so in case you didn't know, they were encased. You like how I threw the encase in there a couple times. So I mean, I'm looking at an 8-box break on the forum of blowout cards right now, just so I can. They did have a few sticker autos, and those were the Tribute to the Stars autos, which were all pretty good within themselves. There's Orlando Cepeda. We pulled the Gary Carter, the late great, and they're all numbered 24 or less, I believe. And if you don't know, if you get one of those cards, you can send your card in. You'll get it back, but you'll also get it back with a Bowman Sterling baseball pack because they promised on the sell sheet that that would be added as an extra hit. So what's that, a $40, $50 retail value to get a Bowman Sterling pack? So it's worth it. You know, you obviously want to certify it. But and yes, they did have their round of schlub guys in there, Ryan Zimmerman, Alexei Ogando. But you can't have, like I said in the on our blog post on our mojobreak.com, you can't have Hank Aaron in every box, so it would just devalue Hank Aaron. But Mike Trout signed, Matt Moore signed, you got Red Schoendiest, Ubaldo Jimenez, Matt Moore, Burt Blylevin, Ernie Banks, you know, Albert Bell. So there's just all kinds of range, and all of them are on card. It's awesome. It's a clear space, nice picture. It's got a nice hologram, and they're all numbered to 99 or less. So definitely tops on their autos. They made a winner. So I gave the autos an A. Mem pieces, I gave it a C, just because there wasn't a whole lot of multicolor. Now, I know I may be a little jaded coming from opening so many football products, and there's a lot more color in football jerseys as opposed to baseball jerseys, but I'd like to see, you know, maybe a few more pinstripes or jersey pieces that have color from the logo and stuff like that. So I gave the mem pieces a C. I also thought some of the designs were a little chintzy. That was that one that the one design that had the World Series thing, the tribute, what was it called? Championship material. Basically, it had a little oval of a jersey piece, and then they had the logo from the team and a jersey piece behind that. So it was a two-piece jersey, but the second piece, at first you got excited. You thought, oh man, I got like a almost like a hat material, but no, it's just a fake logo that they put on there. And it's from team. It's from guys that were on championship teams. So you kind of then you start getting excited that, oh man, I got a card from when David Ortiz played in the World Series. And then you flip over the back and it says, you know, this wasn't in any event or game or particular thing. Basically, David Ortiz wore this jersey while he scratched his nutsack, something like that. I mean, they might as well put that in the car because that's what happened. He wore 15 of these things, but I don't know. That's just pure speculation. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to call it championship material, let's make it championship. Let's call it something else if it's not going to be championship material. So that's why I gave it a C, but that's you know, it's there's still awesome hits. You're going to get three autos and three mem pieces in each box. So there's a lot of good value here, which gives me a uniqueness. I think it's a pretty unique product. It's the only product of its type every year, and it's been doing well the last 2 years. So I gave it a B minus. They didn't change a whole lot besides the on card this year, which is an added bonus, which is why it got a B minus. I'm not going to dwell on the uniqueness too much. Value, I gave it a B plus because there's a lot of cards. If you look on eBay, I mean, there's Ian Desmonds that are selling for $40-$50. Now, it may be just early, but you know, you pull that Hank Aaron, you're getting the $300-$400 you're paying for your box. You know, there's six hits in a $300 box, I think, is, especially when you got legends, you can get Mickey Mantle. We pulled a Mickey Mantle number to 10. So there's a lot of value there. So I gave it a B plus, which brings it to my overall grade of 85%. So B product. So go out and buy it. Hopefully boxes won't jump to $400 because at that point I would say don't buy it. But you know, in the $300 to $350 range, I think it's a good buy. It's a good collectible set. So I'm a fan. But so we're going to get into a song. When we come back, we're going to talk, we're going to review Five Star, and Dan's going to be with us. We're going to bring him back from Arizona. Actually, we recorded the segment like a week ago, but anyways, but we're going to do Contenders, football, Five Star. We're going to talk a little baseball, amongst other things, all kinds of stuff to talk about. And there's going to be two people, so you don't have to listen to me and Siri. You know, you don't have to listen to me trying to become two people. So so right after this song, we will be back.
You see us coming and you all together run for cover.
We're back. That was a good jam. Before we get into the reviews, I wanted to talk about MojoBreak.com. I think it's a pretty good site. You like the site?
I'm a big fan of the site.
I visited it a lot.
If you're into group breaking and whatnot,
yeah,
and killer content and cards and forms and whatnot.
Oh, there's a forum on there?
Yeah, there's a forum on there.
How do you use it?
You just go on there and just type your thoughts, man.
Why would I go to the forum?
Just so you can, like...
Is there free stuff on there?
There's free stuff on there all the time. I mean, we're always giving away... I mean, they are always giving away amazing cards.
Well, yeah, and if you want to get into a group break, if you've just been waiting to take the leap, we're going to give you 15% off by listening to this podcast. Mojo March is the discount code, which will get you 50% off. 15% off. If you spend $100, that's 15 bucks. That's a... You know, a dinner for you and your girlfriend, wife, you know, at
Mojo March.
Mojo March. All one word.
MojoBreak.com.
All one word, all lowercase. Mojo March in the discount code. So we got all kinds of stuff on there. They have Heritage is up there. National Treasures Football, which is hot, done by divisions.
Seven teams left in Tribute.
In Tribute.
Which we're doing Sunday, so this may not get to you in time.
May not get to you in time, but if you do, you can get like the Nationals for like $24 or something like that. There's all kinds of stuff. There's a Panini Preferred Basketball if you're into basketball.
Totally certified.
Totally certified.
Doing a 12-box case of that, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Or no, it's 6 boxes of that, and there's a random that's going to be posted.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't want more of it.
We do randoms, too?
We do random breaks.
Oh, man.
And what that means is if you're, you know, you don't want to pay a premium for the Panthers, you pay a low cost. And then Mojo Break randoms all the teams, so everybody gets a shot at, you know, hot teams like the Panthers or you know, the Giants,
the Rams.
In baseball, or not the Rams. We usually throw those out, but
damn.
But yeah, go on MojoBreak.com. It's a great site. Mojo March, get 15% off. And also, we want to talk about a fantasy baseball league that is getting started.
Absolutely.
Here.
And what do we usually do for the winner?
We buy them a box of cards.
Usually around $100 box of cards.
If you could stump the Doug or the Dan, you get a free box of cards if you win the Fantasy Baseball League. Of course, we're going to fight you and try to get the free box for ourselves. But it's going to be a free baseball box at the end of the year. First 15 people that reply on Twitter, actually it'll be 13 because it'll be two of us. So first 13
doing
people.
A 15-man
league, yep.
15-team league.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool because... I'm not great at fantasy baseball, and I know Doug's not great at fantasy baseball.
He's pretty
much been in about... He's been doing it for about 15 years, and he's never won.
Yeah, it's not like football.
Never...
4 years in a row, you know, not saying anything. But go on, go to our Twitter, which is mojobreak_com, and say, hey, I want in the fantasy league. Just whatever. Just say fantasy league. We'll get you all the info. The first 15 people that tweet us on Twitter. That means if you don't have an account, if you're old school, you're still beating on tablets, sending out snail mail, get yourself a Twitter account for free. Sign up for the MojoBreak.com Fantasy Baseball League. We haven't decided if we're going to do it on Yahoo, but info to come, draft time to come. It'll be a live draft. You'll have to fly out to San Jose and be here in person and do it live. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be live on the computer streaming. We'll do a free draft. And, yeah, winner get a free box, so join it.
Maybe a mid-season box as well, but not as great. Not a $100 box. Maybe something.
Something. We'll have all kinds of things put together, but it'll be fun. At least we'll talk some shit between everybody, and it'll be a fun time. So I think you should join it. Did you hear about Eddie George?
Eddie George, the Tennessee Titan?
Yes. I think he only played for the Tennessee Titans, didn't he?
I think so. Well, he was on that their Super Bowl team. That they played that one team.
The
Rams.
The Chiefs?
The Kurt Warners.
Kurt Warner with Mike Jones?
Mike Jones.
The rapper?
Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt, never heard of him.
Isaac Bruce.
Isaac Bruce retired as a Niner.
Made all his money in San Francisco.
Well, I guess he, I was just reading this as we were at break, but he was caught. He's married. So, but there's no proof that he was fooling around, but he was with Rachel Connor, who's 21 years old. She's a professional golfer, and they were pulled over in Florida at 2 a.m., and Mrs. Connor blew a .137. So, she says that she had two vodka cranberries, but according to our chart, if she weighs, 140 pounds, she had to at least consume five drinks before she was arrested. So, but Eddie George claims that they were just friends, and she offered him a ride home, and he thought she was sober enough to drive.
How drunk is he?
I don't know. It's 2 a.m., I don't know. He doesn't have to be in football shape anymore.
Yeah.
So, but, having a little fun, having a little fun on the side, getting a ride home from a drunk blonde LPGA golfer.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, well, I haven't ever gotten rides home from LPGA golfers. Have you?
No.
Yeah, that's rough. So, yeah, let's I don't think there's any more stories. I just threw a few more in at the end of before we get into the reviews. I know you guys are like, come on, man, we're here for the reviews. Because I think we have a hardcore, solid following of people that just listen for the reviews.
Yep.
There's some pretty dedicated review followers. You know why? Because we're honest. Definitely honest.
Hell yeah.
So, get into a 5-star. Everybody's busting it. It's high end. It's, what, $500 a box?
It's five bills.
Dropping five bills
Mad Skrill
on eight cards. That's a lot of coin.
Eight cards? How many hits? It's been a while.
It's like five hits, I think. Eight cards, three base cards.
Yep.
What can you get for $500? Get an iPhone.
Probably get an iPad, can't you?
You can get an iPad, the 16 gig, no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi.
Or no.
Make it kind of useless 3G. without the Wi-Fi. Just make it kind of useless.
Yeah, it's a display model. you can get a Kinect and an Xbox, probably like two or three games.
Yeah, I think got that thing for like four bills or something like that. So yeah, you can get a lot of you can get a real crappy car.
Yeah, you can get you can get almost a whole case of Bowman Draft.
You can get a whole case.
If you're doing baseball, I know it's a football product.
Get a shit ton of 12 packs of PBR. They're about $8 a spot. So, I mean,
you probably have a lot of fun opening those.
Oh yeah,
can by can. I'm just putting in comparison on what you could get
a lot of those Girl Scout cookies I have up there. Those are delicious.
Oh yeah, the caramel ones.
Yeah, the coconut.
It's pretty bomb. Samoas. Yeah.
Yep.
Are they from Samoa?
I don't know, but we are sponsored by the Girl Scouts.
Because if those are from Samoa, I might have to go and see what else is good in Samoa. I might have to take a trip.
Those are good. We also had some lemon ones that we went through as well. Just tore right through them.
I haven't got my fix on Samoan cookies yet.
Just go find some Girl Scouts. Pick them up. Not the kids.
Then I'd cookies. Be on the story of, like we read from Bad Jocks.
That wasn't good.
Well, I do like the set, and before we get into a grade, I just, it is very high price, so I wanted to put that in comparison of what you can get. The base set and design, I want to start off by saying I do like the design. Not a big fan of 180-point base cards. I don't know if the thought from Topps was, let's make 180-point base cards to make it seem more valuable. Don't know. I mean, they all are all numbered. I think they're all unnumbered to 199 or less.
Yeah,
I believe. And there are some that sell for $20 or something like that. And then we're talking the base card from the 5-star. The design, I was generous by giving it a B+. I do think that there should have been different kind of inserts. Every card that came out of a 5-star box had the same bordering, same set, same look, same design.
Full bleed design.
Full bleed design, no but you border. Know, when you open a National Treasures box to compare products, you get, you know, Gridiron Legends, you get the RPAs, you get several types of inserts.
Yeah.
Which you don't get with tops.
Yeah, I don't think there's any subsets at all.
There's not, and I like the, as a collector, as a, obviously you're getting a big rush when you're opening a $500 box. I mean, that's the tippy top of the industry, right?
You just said tippy top.
I did. I said that's
what I just said. Say, hey man, it's a whole lot of coin.
That's a whole lot of coin. It's
the tippy top.
It's the tippy top of the industry, and you get a little bit of a rush from it, and the unpredictability would be a nice added bonus. Just something to think about next year for 2012 tops is, because you know there's either going to be a book card or a dual card, and you can tell when you open it. It's just too predictable, in my opinion.
It's too predictable for $500.
Right.
So what'd you give the base to?
The base set design, I gave it a B+, which just is because it is nice-looking cards.
It's pretty generous.
It is very generous, but it's a nice-looking card.
I gave it a C on the base and design. Again, a sharp-looking card, but again, no subset, so it was kind of bland.
Right.
Like, there's just nothing to get excited about with the base. 180 point, I can't stand it. It's just a major pain in the ass. It doesn't make the card look any more valuable. It is super fragile. I mean, you look at them wrong, and basically they get kind of scuffed up and dinged.
Yeah, when there's more beef, there's more room to dent.
There's
more mass. And how many people came home? I mean, we barely had enough 180 point because we break and we have a shitload of top loaders. How many people got home and went like, God damn it, I don't have 180
point? 180 point. I mean, those are thick cards. I mean,
it's a lot of plastic.
I don't know. I think they the base cards could have been regular cardstock.
Yeah.
Just, you know, everyday standard.
Or 100 point or something.
I thought the design was a little dark, too. It was just overall the color scheme on every card was a little dark.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Inception, not only because it was full bleed.
Yeah.
But it was just a darker looking card.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it was just bland. And that's why I said the predictability. I probably should give it more along the lines of a C, but it does. When I spend $500 on a base set, I do want the base cards to look expensive. And they did. They looked expensive. I'll give them that much. Now, maybe that's why they're like, we got to make these 180 point because we got to like scream expensiveness and maybe bigger, better. I don't know.
It's theory. Right.
Moving on to autos. We always ask for on card, and they definitely hit the mark there. The only disappointment was, and I don't know the politics behind signing cards, but you have Jordan Todman again. You have Austin Pettis. You have Bill O'Powell. Well, I know Austin Pettis is a Ram, and you have a man crush.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Jordan Todman, Bill O'Powell. I'd throw Austin Pettis out of that, man. Austin Pettis is a good hit.
I don't think so. Maybe for you. Maybe
it's
for
a good
you.
Hit. It's all, damn, I'm so glad I got this card. I don't know.
They did throw out, like, the Daquan Bowers of the world. There is Marcell Dareus, and there is Von Miller. So there's, like, two defensive rookies, but they did kind of, you know, get rid of the other first round defensive guys or offensive tackles.
What's that line? Texans guy, JJ Watt.
I think
he was in there.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe I'm making it up.
I think you are.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you can't have every card be a good hit, but at the same time, I would have liked to maybe seen the top 10 rookies signing and then the rest be veterans or retired players or stuff like that. That's my biggest complaint with the auto selection is, I can't even explain the disappointment on somebody's face when they spend $500 and they get a Bill Powell auto.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
that's a way to lose customers. I mean, let's hope that box also had something really nice in it as well, like
Cam
Newton or something.
What was there? The duels, there was a Bill Powell, Shane Vereen.
Yep.
Those are two guys who, if you've opened up any products this year, the Bill O'Pals, the Shane Vereen, the Jordan Todmans, that receiver from the Chargers.
Vincent Brown.
Vincent Brown. These guys have been everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like they signed 10,000 more cards than everybody else.
At a $500 box, there should be definitely some more Hall of Famers, some vets.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's like a Hines Ward or something, a Hines Ward auto is better than a, you know, or even Crabtree. I'd rather have a Crabtree than a Jordan Todman.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd even have a...
I would definitely rather have an Austin Pettis than a Michael Crabtree.
Maybe a Danny Amendola?
Yeah. Yeah, for the autos, I gave it a B. Did you say what you gave it?
I gave it a B+, and once again, rethinking it, I probably should give it a little bit lower, but I gave it a B+. Because it's on card. There's no sticker autos. It was everything was on card, and a high end set should absolutely have all on card.
Yeah, they got it right. The autos, I gave it a B. We always everybody's always screaming for more on card autos, and you can't have it both ways. I mean, if there's on card autos, there's going to be some filler autos in there, and that's right. Just kind of the way it is. I gave it a B. I thought they did a pretty good job. I thought the auto placement and the backdrop of the card itself auto kind of popped out. I gave it a B.
One thing I do want to ask, you know, hopefully we meet tops at the summit, because I mean we are ripping on the fact that they have Bill O'Powell and they have Jordan Todman, but
it's not specific to tops though. There's been a lot of Panini products that have had the same
absolutely.
Guys in it, so.
Now are all these guys? I mean, is every single product signed at the rookie premiere? I mean, like, all year's worth of product. Because that would probably be the explanation. Because you can't... I mean, if Jordan Todman would have been, 1,000 yards, we wouldn't have him in the conversation, obviously. But it's the fact that he's on the practice squad now. Bill Powell's, like, third or fourth on the depth chart. Shane Vereen ain't close to being playing. So those guys are in this product, and they're way down on the depth chart. And from a collector's point of view... It's 8 months after the start of the season.
Well, I mean, during the year, are they holding on? Like, I mean, let's face it. These guys probably signed thousands on top of thousands of stickers, right?
But did they all sign on the rookie premiere is what I'm wondering.
So, well, what if, like, they basically all signed the same amount? Newton signed the same amount as Todman. But during the season, they see what's going on, and they're like, well, we have these stickers, and we can always reuse these stickers. These stickers are going to be a little bit more valuable, the Cam Newtons.
Right.
Let's just throw these Todmans out there. And because basically they have the stickers, I think, before the cards are made.
Yeah, but these ones are on card.
Those are on card. I can't explain that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Were these cards produced by... I mean, were these cards produced by the time the rookie premiere was going on? No, I don't think so. I don't think... I think what happened is they produced these cards probably 2 months ago, and they sent them out to the players.
Well, if that's the fact, then why have these guys signed?
Well, let's...
That's what I'm thinking.
Let's face it. Jordan Todman is not busy playing football. So when they send him
He's probably working out somewhere.
When they send him a couple hundred cards to sign, and they're like, hey, when you get these back to us, you're going to get some money. He ain't doing anything, and he's probably not making too much money, so you better believe, like, that's pretty high on his priority list, as opposed to, like, A.J. Green, who is working, doing work.
Oh, and you know who...
Making catches, scoring touchdowns.
You know who's not even in this product, which I didn't even realize, but there's no Julio Jones. There's no Julio Jones hot five-star at all.
Wow.
But, no, if they did it 2 months ago, there would be some top brass at Tops that would say, okay... We can get Jordan Todman to sign for this much, or we can get Hines Ward to sign for the same price. Obviously, it's going to be Hines Ward. So to me, I'm thinking that all of these cards are produced in the off season when the rookie premiere comes. They're all produced, they're all made, they're all signed within the first couple months of the rookie premiere.
I would have to disagree. I think if that was the case, if this product was in the works 6-7 months ago and already done, there would be pictures at some point that would leak out before they do the Panini peek or the Topps like preview.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. Well, they are... Well, I don't know. It's tough to say. That's going to be a question that we ask. But obviously, you can't have every... If every pack had a Cam Newton in it, then the Cam Newtons that are selling for $700 would sell for $50. So you can't, you obviously have to have crap in order to have cards that retain value.
Well, it's all about supply and demand. I mean, if for some reason Shane Vereen didn't sign many autos, and say there was only 100 Shane Vereen autos in all the products combined.
Yeah.
Well, those cards would probably be going for a lot more than they are right now.
It's true.
So even if he is, I mean, look at all the short printed guys on the contenders list.
Yeah,
here.
They're selling a lot.
They're selling for a lot. And those guys, I mean, they've had autos already. Some of them haven't, but
yeah.
A lot of those guys are not big players. A lot of those guys are special team players.
Yeah,
those guys may not even be on the team.
Yeah, or they're offensive tackles or something. Yeah. So I wanted to get your take on memorabilia before mine.
For a $500 product, the memorabilia, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
At what
value would you think that it would be a good value for memorabilia pieces? What price tag?
What for the stuff they put in there?
Yeah.
It's a $100. It's a $100 box.
Yeah.
Maybe even a $70 box. I've seen some better. I've seen out of products that street price for $70 to $80, I've seen better memorabilia pieces.
Rookies and Stars.
Yeah, I wasn't really gonna throw out names. I was gonna say in general.
Yeah. That's
but,
true.
You're
right.
Yeah. What really, really got me? What really got me? The booklets were a lot of times like the main hits.
Yeah. Well, it was either a booklet or a dual
auto, and you get the booklet, and it's usually numbered like. It was like number 24 or 25, something like that.
Or 15.
Or 15. You open it up and they were always single color jersey pieces.
Whether it had like a card like this where they made sure it was two colors, which
yeah.
is weird.
Yeah.
It's like they had it opposite.
You open up you get this booklet and you get super excited. And you open it up and the left hand side, sick auto, great like looking card.
A booklet is
sharp.
Exciting in general.
And then you look on the other side and you're like, wow, they could have just literally cut this card in half and I'd have been just as happy.
Yeah, exactly. It was the other side's a waste. Now, did they run out of color from using the jerseys from the whole year?
I think anytime you get a book, it should be exciting. And there should be like a just an absolute sick patch on
like
one,
a whole
one
logo
end.
Like or
a
something.
Whole logo. Or, yeah, exactly.
I mean, the whole point of the book card is there's so much more real estate.
Exactly.
You know, it's not to be filler. I mean, now they got these little square. We're looking at a Ray Lewis here on a blowout card, 39 out of 40, and that, I mean, that's a suitable patch.
Yeah.
I mean, they did fine on the if you're familiar with the 5-star product, the last hit is just a single colored jersey piece.
Yep.
It's right after the booklet card. So a lot of people that open are putting that up to the top because it's not the main hit. But that card is been like 70% dual color.
Yeah.
So, what did you? What was your grade on that?
I gave it a D minus.
Yeah, I gave it a C minus. But the saving grace, what I just talked about, the two color, the last hit, the two color. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, book cards is a step in the right direction. We love book cards. They did it really well in triple threads for both baseball and football. But they missed the mark by having and. I can understand if the number to 25 were single colored, but they were all across the board. All the
book cards
were single colored.
These book cards, though, were a little excessive because they were both part of the books were 180 point.
Yeah,
which I don't think with triple threads it's not that thick.
Yeah.
So as for shipping, good luck because they don't fit in a 180.
No, and there's
not even close.
There's still really no industry fix on how to. Keep and save book cards.
Yeah, don't release a product if there's no way to protect it.
Right. Yeah, those are going to be dinged up pretty bad.
Yeah.
So uniqueness, my memorabilia was C-, I think I said. Uniqueness is C because it pretty much was the same product as last year. They just had the new players on it. In fact, I feel like they almost took a step back because there was less color. There was less variety of players. I think there was a lot more variety of players last year. I think there was a lot more Hall of Famers and current stars and stuff like that. So I gave it a C for uniqueness.
Yeah, I gave it a C for uniqueness. It really, I'm going to say it again. It was like it's like an Inception that was five times the price.
Yeah, it was.
It's a good looking card, but. Yeah, uniqueness. It was a lot like last year, just different players. I gave it a C.
All right. What about your value?
My value, I gave it a D minus.
All right.
If it's street pricing at $500, you gotta be able to get at least street value about $300, and I would consider it like a fair break, $250 to $300 back. I think in most cases you're getting about 15, maybe 20% return on investment. That's just not going to cut it with that high end of a product.
Yeah.
That's fine with a $70 box. That's fine with a $100 box. It's not okay with a $500 box.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you're, and I agree, my grade is actually the same on that one. If you don't hit a Cam Newton or, you know, any kind of Montana Rice or any legend, you're really not going to make, you're not going to make any money on it. Recent sales, now this is a stretch, there was a Cam Newton AJ Green logo shield 1 of 1 that did sell for $8,000, so that was that's making some coin there. The Cam Newton 3-color 1 of 1 sold for $2,500. It was 1 of 55, so I don't know why somebody thinks it's one of those eBay 1 of 1s again.
We just got done talking about that.
Yeah, so Joe Montana Jerry Rice sold for $2,000, so once again, you got to hit a legend or Cam Newton, basically. The Jerry Rice and Joe Montana are really selling for a lot. $1,500. There's a Cam Newton. Oh, that's a sealed case. Yeah, sealed case selling for about $1,500. So, yeah, it's definitely around $500 a box. The Cam Newton booklet. 1 of 1 booklet, which is all single color again.
That's rough, man.
Even for the 1 of 1, they couldn't. It says rainbow booklet. Say 101. It does say it's one. It's definitely 101.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it sold for $1,200. So in comparison, like the finest sold for more, which is a lower end product. So, let's see. Blaine Gabbert didn't sell. Andy Dalton AJ Green dual shield booklet, which is a redemption, sold for $1,100. Look at that. AJ Green, Greg Little. Talk about putting a guy on there that just devalues your card.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah, so, I mean, beyond that, it's either Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, and Cam Newton. If you don't get any of those, it's pretty rough on you. Even the Julio Jones Leatherman. I guess he is in the product. Not five-star. Oh, someone was real clever by putting not five-star. Cam Newton.
What was the Newton that we pulled? That what was it numbered to?
The Newton we pulled was numbered to 199. Nice. And it was selling for about $700. And it was a Jersey Auto. So, I mean, that box paid for itself, but our whole case would have been crap. It still wouldn't even have covered that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so now we're going to go head-to-head versus a product that's not really in the same category, but came out close to the same time, and
We didn't go over our
overall grades. Yeah, I jumped ahead, didn't I? What's your overall grade?
Overall grade is a 71%. My math comes out to C-.
Yeah, and I did. Mine came out to 76. So C plus, borderline C plus.
The lack of value really killed it.
Yeah, good looking cards. Yes, once it, I'm on the same page.
If it was at a $250 to $300 price point, this product would have been an A.
Yeah.
But at $500, it's rough.
It is. It's very rough. Like I said, just went over the eBay listings. 76% for me. I wouldn't advise to stay away from it if you have the money. I think there is some potential there, but there's also a lot more potential of losing your money in this product, where I think you can buy 2, 3, 4, 5 boxes of something else.
You can buy 5 boxes of Inception.
Yeah, you can buy 6 boxes of Supreme.
Yeah.
You can buy 4 boxes of Plates and Patches. You walk away with a lot more. You may not get that $1,000 Cam Newton hit, but you're probably not going to get it in your 5-star box either.
Yeah.
So, moving on to Contenders, which is another staple product. If you look past...
And this is why I think Treasures is going to be amazing. I think there's going to be a lot more value in that one.
I'm hoping so.
And it's a little bit cheaper. It's usually around $100 cheaper, isn't it?
It is, and I think it has 1 or 2 more hits.
Yeah, it's... Jump up on it. I mean, get involved in, you know, buy a spot from Mojo Break.
Yeah, Mojo Break.
We have a... I think we have 3 divisions, 4 divisions available.
Yeah, I mean, we may, and depending on how much gets allocated and how much more we get, we're going to probably be doing a lot more of it. So even though there's no Carolina division left and you really want the Cam Newton, there's probably going to be more. So if you're not on our mailing list, sign up, because that's going to be the way to hear about things. Also, sign up for our Twitter, our Facebook. Anytime we have a sale or we're doing impromptu breaks, we're having a break night like we just did last Saturday, jump on the mailing list, and that's the way you're going to find out. So, and also YouTube. Watch YouTube videos. Watch us breaking cards for hours. It's totally funner than watching Pay Drive. Totally more fun than watching. Sounds like my Vegas voice. But moving on to playoff contenders, I think one thing about playoff contenders is if you look back through the years, you look at the Tom Brady rookie card auto, you look at the Peyton Manning, they hold their value. They go, they maintain. Like the Peyton Manning selling for like $2,000-$3,000.
Tom Brady's
like $15,000 to $2,000.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean. Yeah. This is a really strong product.
It is. Every year, it's a staple. It's the rookie card auto product. If you're PCing a guy and you want one rookie card auto, the rookie card auto that I would tell you to get would be the Contenders one.
And great marketing. Before I get into my grades, great marketing by Panini on this one. I love the fact that they release the product, and then 3 weeks later, they release. Everybody knows that there's short prints out there.
Right.
And super short prints. And then they release it like about 3 weeks later. So you get like this mad scramble, like people not knowing, trying to figure out what's short printed, what's super short printed, what's, I mean, I love the idea of not numbering everything.
Yeah, it's a nice buzz. It's definitely a nice buzz that it's creating, and it's good for the hobby. People were gobbling up boxes. Boxes are still profiting today, even after, 3 weeks after the release?
Yeah, genius marketing on Panini's part.
Yeah, they do it every year. And they also took it a step above this year by not only they have the short print sticker autos, they had short print variations of the rookie premier guys. So there's Cam Newton without the wristband.
I know.
That's numbered to 25.
Yeah.
So if you're a genius to catch that on eBay, like right when they came out, you know, you might have been able to turn a profit on cards like that.
Absolutely.
So,
it just creates so much buzz. And I think Playoff Contenders is probably one of the strongest football products every year.
Absolutely. And we're, you know what, I think at a podcast in the future, when all these 2011 products are done, I think we're going to take our best products and maybe have a segment where
just talk more about them?
Give them grades, like best product of the year, you know. Because baseball,
like an award ceremony?
Yes. Like, hey, Panini, step on up. Because baseball's already, their 2011's already done, but football's 2011 still going on.
There's only about 13 more releases.
Pretty much. There's only 55 more releases.
Releases will be done sometime in September.
Yeah. That's when 2011. Or we're still in 2010.
Yeah.
base set design, we didn't really see eye to eye on this, but I thought it was nice. I thought it was, for what it was, I think the base cards look more expensive than they were. It's, it makes the set a little more collectible. It has a logo, the insignia of the team. It looks like a ticket. So the variations have the rows different. They even have the 101. So I do like the base set and design. I gave it a B+ for 2011 Playoff Contenders football.
The design I liked. The subset inserts I liked as well, like the Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah.
One thing from a breaker standpoint that really, really pisses me off was the fact that the names on the cards were so damn small. I mean, they literally could not make them any smaller.
They were very tiny.
When you're trying to break 12 boxes, whatever, 24 packs, there's like, 8 cards a pack, and you're flipping through them, I had to keep on pausing because I'm like, I can't see the names. They're so damn small. And that's strictly from, I mean, the cards themselves look good. The design looked good. I like the ticket on the side. Like I said, I like the subsets. Not too busy, but just busy enough to have enough like flash to them.
Yeah.
But wow, like from a breaker standpoint, it's just a pain in the ass.
And we're gonna do another 6-box break on Sunday, so we're gonna experience it again.
So I ended up giving it a D, because again,
I'll give you that. It's a busy card.
It's tough to go through that many cards and like try to name off everybody when you're basically. You can't even see the name. You're kind of guessing.
Yeah, it's definitely not geared to... I mean, but I don't think they make products with people like us in mind.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe that's
fine, but you know what? I'm going to ding them on that. Because that affected me.
Maybe we should talk to the Hackman over there at Summit and see what's up with that. Maybe they can make breaker-friendly versions of products.
There we go. Breaker series.
Yep. Autos, I give it an A-. It was a good correlation. It's the first time this year that you got guys in their freaking jersey numbers. I mean, you got Alden Smith, you know, in his jersey, which that was a SP and that was selling for a lot. You got Patrick Peterson in his jersey. It was a big auto set. Yes, there's guys that suck. You know, there's, you know, your run-of-the-mill Bill O'Powell and Jordan Todman and Shane Vereen and Austin Pettis.
Come on. Austin Pettis is going to the Pro Bowl next year.
I'll take the under on that one. But
the under?
Yeah, the under of him not making the team next year.
Not Pro Bowl.
Not Pro Bowl? Playoffs? And you got, like, Henry Hynoski, you got Dane Sanzenbacher, you got, you know, they pretty, I mean, it's the end of the year, so it's the buzz about some of these guys that haven't been in the card sets, you know. So that's why I give it an A-, and then all the rookie premier guys all on cards. So you got your Cam Newton on card, you got your Jake Locker on card, and every box you're getting at least one, if not two, on-card autos, and they only promise four, but most boxes have five and six autos.
What did they call that, that Dalton insert auto that we got?
It was a rookie ink.
Rookie ink.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Those are numbered to 25.
I think they're numbered to 100.
Numbered to 100. Those are very cool.
Yeah.
I love the fact that there was a checklist of, what, 100 some odd different guys who were autoed in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I also love the fact that you get four autos, and in most cases, we were pulling five and six.
Yeah, they over-delivered like they did last year.
Yeah, and they usually do that. It's cool to, like, break a box and look and go, man, I got six autos. Good-looking autos, and some of them are pretty valuable.
Well, and I've said this in other podcasts that we've done reviews. Like, I've busted so many rookies and stars boxes this year that I know when I get the fourth hit, I know I'm done.
Yeah.
You know there's nothing else coming. Now, when you're at the fourth auto of playoff contenders, you never know. You don't know if there's one more or there's even two more.
Yeah.
Usually there's not seven, but, you know, it pretty much lasts the whole box.
Keeps you on your toes, yeah.
It does, and I like the unpredictability. I don't think – and maybe we're the only ones that recognize this because we break so much product and we are able to notice these little idiosyncrasies with product, but – the unpredictability of the product definitely keeps guys like us entertained.
And it keeps people who are our customers who are entered into breaks,
yeah,
keeps them entertained as well because they don't know.
And yeah.
We're always reminding people. We're like, you know what? Four autos, but, you know, there could be more.
Right. And a lot of the guys on our breaks open as much product as us too. So, I mean, they're expecting the correlation. Uniqueness, I gave it a B.
I gave it a B minus on autos.
I just keep wanting to skip it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Uniqueness, and you gave it how much for autos?
I get a B plus.
B plus. So you're pretty close. We're pretty close to grades on that one. Uniqueness, I gave it a B plus. I mean, I can't really single out one thing that's unique about it, but the whole product line is pretty unique to football products. So it is. I mean, there's nothing like Contenders. Contenders comes out and it's its own thing. It's autos. It's the beef.
It's if you like autos. If you're not a relic guy, if you're not a patch guy, and you want just autos, this is absolutely the set for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we all know that autos sell better than patches anyway. So I gave it a B+. I'm not going to touch on it too much. The Super Bowl tickets are a nice touch. The rookie ink, like you said, is a nice touch. There's a lot of different subsets that do have autos. So they have the 101 front row tickets. So B+ for uniqueness on me.
Yeah, I gave it a C on uniqueness. The only thing that stopped me from giving it a B was the fact that it was kind of, the base cards are kind of the same thing every year.
Yeah, maybe change it up a little bit.
Maybe change it up a little bit, but overall, solid. So give it a C.
Moving on to value, I think it's an A. I think even on some of the really bad boxes, you're going to get 50 to 60% of your return. Cam Newton autos are selling for $300 all day. So you get a Cam Newton, AJ Green selling for $100, Jake Locker selling for like $60-$70. So there's a lot of value. If you get one of those SPs, there's a guy on the Cowboys, I think it's Tyrone Smith, it's only numbered to 25. It's selling for like $500. So, and then there's, of course, 101s, there's printing plates, there's a lot of value in the product.
Yeah, I gave it an A on value. You know, my method is basically if you can get 50 to 60% back return on your investment. It's a strong product. I think out of not only football, but baseball, every product this year, this one and draft picks and prospects,
yeah,
are pretty much the best value you can get out there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So I gave it an A.
So that gives my grade 89%, which is probably one of the highest grades I've given for football sets all year.
That's just ridiculous.
It's 89%, yeah.
Yeah. I liked it, but I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm popping wood on that one.
They don't call me Down or Dan for nothing. I gave it a 79, which is a B.
Yep.
In my book, that's pretty damn good.
And yours is because you just gave it that grade because you couldn't read the autos. I think it was an unfair grade that you gave it on the base.
No.
You couldn't read the names on the base cards.
Well, you know what?
That D minus really devalued your
base. That's a problem. That's a problem for me.
Well,
it's not a problem for you, and that's fine. But it's a problem for me.
So I'm glad. Well, we can't have the same reviews. We have to have two different.
Well, reviews, I mean, there's one that's right and there's one that's wrong. So
me.
Yeah, the wrong one.
But, you know, head-to-head, five-star versus playoff contenders, I'd much rather buy four boxes of playoff contenders than one box of five-star.
All day.
Plus, you'd have freaking 800 base cards, too. Not only would you have 30 autos, you'd have 500 base cards. So much more value.
Yeah, there's definitely more value, more bang for the buck.
I mean, and you're going to probably, out of the five boxes, you're probably going to get either an AJ Green, a Cam Newton, a Jake Locker, a Ponder, you're going to get somebody decent out of five boxes. Now, if you buy one box of five-star, you're probably not going to get anything.
You could get a Jordan Todman.
You could get a Bill O'Powell.
You could.
Or an Austin Pettis.
Well, only if you're lucky.
Before we end the podcast, I want to talk a little baseball. You know, we usually end with reviews, but we're going to flip it up on you. We're going to talk about baseball. Spring training has started.
We're just going to hang out and talk about a little bit of 2012 MLB action. Talk a little spring training. We're also going to, talk about the big signings. A little Doug and Dan prediction.
Yep, definitely.
We're going to see what's going down. Spring training, I'm headed out. Doug's taking this one off this year.
Yeah, I usually make it every year, but...
But I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of guys, at least with the team I'm going to be following, that, you know, could make the team. There's a Gregory Blanco, is that? Or
for the Giants?
Yeah, Giants.
Hector Sanchez.
All those guys. Guy who's hitting pretty... Grant Green from the A's is doing pretty solid.
Is he?
Doing pretty solid.
Melky Cabrera is leading the league in home runs right now.
Melky Cabrera will not be leading the league in home runs by the end of the season.
Brandon Belt has two.
Yeah, so...
Carlos Baguero for Seattle. Just looking at the early stats. Obviously, we're like eight games in, so there's still a lot of baseball to play. But rookie right here, Starling Marte for Pittsburgh, has two home runs.
There we go.
So that's a nice prospect.
He's also hitting .692. Don't just look at the home runs.
No, the home runs is what puts me in the seats. .692, yeah, he's leading the league.
Leading the planet.
Yep. Albert Pujols hitting a .556.
Yeah, so...
After eight games. And he's, what, 4-for-9? You know who's not doing
good? Brett Lowry.
Brett Lowry's hitting .500, 16 at-bats. And this is his... He was just drafted... Or no. No, he's been in the system for a little while. Brett Lowry. Because he was drafted by Milwaukee, actually.
Yep.
But been in the system for a little while. Colosmo. Alfonso Soriano making an appearance in the top 10. So, you know, it's exciting. I mean, you get to see the prospects. I think there's some buzz on products like Bowman Draft has gotten a little bit of
hype.
Well,
Bowman Draft, I expect a little spike in Elite.
Yeah.
Elite usually spikes during spring training. Blanco right there.
Leading the league in stolen bases.
Leading the league in stolen bases. He's a five-tooler, five-tool player.
Who is he? Gregor. Oh, did we get... Oh, we must have got him in the Sanchez trade.
Absolutely not.
He's in a Royals uniform.
I don't think so. I think we got him and
signed him off the.
He was the Valenzuela MVP.
Royals deal outfielder Blanco to Nationals.
Nice.
That had to have been last year. So he's been around.
Let's talk about.
He's 27 years old. So
yeah, he's just entering his prime.
Let's
talk about the two big signings of the offseason, one being Prince Fielder and mm-hmm. the other one being Albert Pujols. They both got paid.
Oh, big time.
They both got paid. Are they worth it? Are they going to be... Is Prince Fielder going to be the guy who puts the Tigers over the hump? Is Pujols going to be the guy who basically does the same thing for the Angels?
You know, I think they're both good signings. I think if it was me, if I had the money to spend, I think I'd rather go with Prince Fielder just based on age. Now, people do have questions about his durability because he's a little overweight.
They both went to American League teams.
Yeah.
They both went from the National League to the American League. DHing is an option. I think Pujols could outlive that contract easily. I mean, he's a hell of a fielder right now.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's getting up there in age, and that guy can hit for another 7-8 seasons no problem as a DH.
Yeah, yeah.
Fielder I don't really feel the same about. But they both went to really strong teams.
Yeah, I think the bit better contender is going to be Detroit. I think the pitching's a little bit better in Detroit. And for this year, because they're not going to be able to keep that roster the same with the middle of the order being Martinez, Cabrera, and Prince Fielder, I think one of them's a free agent next year, and they're not going to have the money
Martinez
to sign him.
Martinez is going
to
be a free agent.
Yeah, so but for this year...
Martinez is getting up there in age.
I mean, he is.
He's on the...
You can't have him, Prince Fielder, and Martinez. There's a DH right there. Martinez is already the DH. So you can't have them both, you know, later on. So this would be the year for Detroit. I mean, and then Verlander coming off the year that he had. I mean,
Doug Fister.
Exactly. Be nice on her, Doug. Don't Fister. You know, there's a lot of tools in place for Detroit. Albert Pujols, I just think the contract was a little ridiculous. I mean, that's what it was going to take to sign him.
Who's the best overall hitter in the league?
Well, Pujols.
Okay, so yeah, you just purchased the best hitter in the league.
But for how many more years is he going to be able to do it? He's already done it for 10.
You know, he can do it for 10 more. Yeah. Doing DHing, no problem.
You know, yeah. And his glove's halfway decent. I mean, I guess he's a... Who do you think's a better glove, Prince Fielder or Albert Pujols?
Pujols.
I like how you wrote Prince Albert. It's talking about piercings here or something.
Nope, not doing that.
Pujols is...
What are your predictions for Prince Fielder?
This year, as far as home runs?
We're talking the three main categories. We're talking average...
Well, he's never really been an average guy, right? He's always hanging around 280.
He's at like over 320.
Let me just pull up some of the stats. I should have been a little bit more prepared. I think the home runs will go
up. Look at that, 299 last year.
299, 38 home runs, 120 RBIs. So
that's not your prediction.
No, that's last year. If I would have been right, if it was last year. But Prince Fielder, you know, I think the average is going to dip a little bit to 280, but I think the home run total is going to go up. I think he's going to hit 45 home runs this year. I think he's going to pick up 7 more home runs. I think he's going to flirt with 140 to 150 RBIs this year just because of that team.
You know, I have him hitting about 310 and less home runs. Thinking about 35 home runs and about 115.
Huh.
If you can get that kind of production out of that guy, I put my money on Detroit to take it.
He's young. I mean, he's still pretty young. He's 27 years old. I think he's still getting better. I think
stolen bases under or over 10.
under. But I think he's going to strike out a lot more because I think he's going to be in more situations this year than when he was on the Brewers with guys in scoring position. And we all know Prince Fielder, watching him in the Home Run Derby, he likes the flash. He likes the long ball. The way he swings, he loves hitting the ball far. So I think he's going to have more home runs and more RBIs, but he's going to have a lower average and more strikeouts. That's my prediction.
So where would you draft him in your fantasy league?
I would say end of the first round or mid-second round.
I think he's a first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of first basemen. That's a problem with fantasy baseball is there's a lot of first basemen.
What about Pujols?
Pujols, I mean, I think he's going to obviously be over 400.
He's going to hit over 400,
he's gonna
finally.
He's going to hit over 5.
500. He's going to hit over 500.
He's going to hit over 300. I'm just looking for the word as I'm finding Pujols. Last year, 299, 37 home runs, 99 RBIs.
You know, in my opinion, that was an off year for him.
A lot of home runs, though. I mean, that's a decent home run total for him. So I think the average goes up, but the home runs go down. You know, the only thing to consider is he's been playing in St. Louis for how long now? And now he's in a different ballpark. He's going to have to learn the ballpark. I mean, where's he going to be the corners?
It's not learning the ballpark. It's learning the new pitchers that he has to go against.
That too, yeah.
Now, he's been going against the same pitchers for 10 years.
Right.
he has a whole new crop of pitchers he has to learn.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that may affect him, but I don't think anybody can hold Albert down.
His career average is .328. That's crazy.
I think Pujols is going to hit about, I think I'll say about .320, 40 home runs, 120 RBIs.
Yeah, I agree with the RBIs. The Angels are also, they're pretty stacked as well. Believe it or not, I think they're going to win that division, but I think Seattle is going to give them a run for their money this year. I don't think Oakland, even with Suspettus, is that his name?
You know Seattle's going to lose 100 games.
No. They have – dude, they just got Montero. That was like the biggest – that was like the smartest trade ever.
Seattle will finish last in that division.
No.
So you're saying Seattle's going to beat Texas?
No, I said Seattle's going to give them a run for their money. I'm thinking the Angels are first – That was a little major Mariners stat. I'm thinking that people call me crazy. I think the Angels are going to finish first. Mariners are going to finish second. Then you got Texas right behind it third. You might even have they got the two playoff teams this year. It might even be the Mariners against the Rangers.
The Mariners are going to lose 100 games. I don't understand. Where are you? You know Griffey doesn't play for the Mariners anymore.
I know. I realize that. But check this out. Look at the roster here. You're talking about a lot. They've got a lot of young talent from the card industry. You know Dustin Ackley. Kyle Seager's doing well. Bob Seager's son.
Yeah.
they got Jesus Montero, who's a nice middle order of the bat. They got Sean Figgins coming back.
Figgins. You're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Felix Hernandez. How can I be drinking Kool-Aid on Seattle? No one's probably picking Seattle.
No, yeah, because nobody. Why would they? Okay, Ackley not proven.
No, but top 10 prospect.
Mr. Seager, Bob, the younger version, not proven. Figgins is a good compliment player, but he's not a catalyst.
No, I'm not saying he's a leader of that team. I'm just saying...
Montero, not proven.
Hit .300 on the Yankees last year in 60 at-bats. Not proven.
60 at-bats. But, 60 at-bats.
But they're saying about Montero, if you're listening to this, buy Montero's rookie cards if you haven't. I think it's in 2008 Bowman. They have never seen the power to go to both fields that he possesses.
Do you want to do a bet? You want to do a bet that the Mariners lose 90 or more games?
Yes.
90 is the over under. Under 90 you win, over 90 I win.
Yes.
Absolutely. $20
okay.
bet.
Okay.
All right.
Done. All right. That one's easy. You might as well give me the they got Charlie Furbush, okay? Hector Noesi, they got in that trade. Chance Ruffin is a middle of the order starter.
Are you making these names up?
No. Alex Liddy. They got Justin Smoke. What the Mariners have been doing good, and you can see I'm not biased because I'm a Giants fan. They've made some like really good trades to get their get the talent that they have. Justin Smoke they got from Texas. They went ahead and traded Michael Pineda, which I don't think is going to turn out to be anything, for Jesus Montero, which is a middle order bat. They already have Suzuki, which you can count for batting over .300, maybe even .350. I mean, it's an all around good team, good talent all the way around.
I am in shock right now. I can't. Like, they are probably, I mean, if you ask anybody, they would say the Mariners are probably going to be the first team to lose 100 games.
You think that Manny Ramirez and Suspettus are going to get the A's above the Mariners this year?
I think the A's are a stronger team, and I hate to say that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, that's my sleeper team along with the Royals, but we'll talk about the Royals.
The Royals are fine. They actually have talent.
And Danny Holson might even make the roster this
year. So, predictions to who will win the NLAL, are you actually going to say the Mariners?
No, I said they're going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win it. What are you going with? Why don't you start while I figure this out? Because I'm going to try to not go with a homer pick here.
Yeah, the NL, I'm going Cincinnati Reds.
The NL?
Yep.
And why?
Why am I going? Because they're stacked. I mean, Votto, Bruce, Brandon Phillips, Drew Stubbs. They have a killer. They have a rookie shortstop who looks pretty good. They have a rookie catcher who is actually my sleeper for the rookie of the year. Look
rookie
at that
catcher. Who, Devin Ross, Masuraco, or Ryan Hannigan?
No, Masuraco.
You think he's was born in 88, so I guess, yeah.
He is my rookie, and the next thing is rookie of the year. But look at that. You got Johnny Cueto. You have Matt Latos.
And Aroldis Chapman, man.
Aroldis Chapman. Bronson Arroyo.
Judge Judy.
You have Mike Leake.
I mean, it's all right, but that ballpark is horrible.
Look at the that Zach Cozart is the guy who is rookie shortstop.
Well, they're not going to, I can tell you that much, they're not going to win by pitching because that ballpark is horrible.
Look who they
are. So they're
Brandon Phillips, Scott Rowland.
Scott Rowland's 55
Scott
years old.
Scott Rowland can still He can still swing a stick.
You're
look at that.
Smoking the reefer.
Dude, Ryan Ludwig.
Who? Dude, their lineup is awful. I mean,
you're
besides Drew Stubbs and Penis Phillips over here. Dennis Phipps. And Joey Votto. I mean, that's pretty much it. They have nothing.
Brandon Phillips. Miguel Cairo.
These are all has-beens. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the team that's going.
I'd be surprised if they even get second place in that division.
Oh, they're
talking World Series.
They're going.
For the NL, God, I think it's going to be. Let me see. I haven't really thought about this. Really.
Wow.
I gotta pick my home team.
You're going Giants?
Yeah, I think with Buster Posey coming back, I think the X factor here is Melky Cabrera. I think that he had a career year last year. I think he's only going to get better.
I think the X factor is Pagan. But
I think it's a step up from Torres.
I think it's also Freddie Sanchez. If
Freddie Sanchez and Buster Posey play all year long, I think we have a World Series team.
And you know the reason why we will not, because on days that Posey is off, we throw Eli Whiteside out there. Who we have about 7 or 8 pitchers on the team who can hit better than he can.
Well, everybody has their own token Whiteside.
No, not like him. Not quite like
him. How many people have two catchers on their roster that can hit? Hardly any.
How many? But both of our backup catchers last year couldn't hit.
Well, yeah. That's why we. I mean, we were still in the hunt up to about, 2 weeks before the season. But, I mean, you can't – when you don't have guys that hit, you obviously can't win games.
When you're doing – when you're platooning Chris Stewart and Eli Whiteside and you're expecting to win games.
Yeah. So who's your pick for the AL?
AL is Detroit.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to pick against, too. You know, and then we just talked about Detroit. I mean, it's – I think I'm going to go with Kansas City. I'm going to take a real big flyer. I think Kansas City, I mean, with the talent
they
have.
So you're actually saying that the World Series is going to be the Giants versus the Royals?
Possibly. Plus, they have an All-Star game in 2012.
Is that serious?
Yeah. Yes. I'm going on a limb. I know I'm probably 3 years ahead of my time on the Royals because I think a lot of this talent's going to take a little while.
Oh, they got Nathan Adcock.
Yep, they got Jonathan Broxton they added. Luke Hochevar had a decent season. You got Danny Duffy. You got Joaquin Soria coming out the bullpen.
Jonathan Sanchez.
But your infielders, you got Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, who are having good seasons spring training so far.
Billy Butler.
they got Lorenzo Cain away from Milwaukee, who was like a top 10 prospect a couple years ago. So Alex Gordon, they got Jeff Francoeur. So there's a
Alex
lot of
Gordon, Alex Gordon never happened. Billy Butler never happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of hit and misses.
Jeff Francoeur, I can't believe he's still in the league.
Yeah, he's born in '84. He's younger than us.
Dude, that guy has never he's never stuck anywhere.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I just think that Jeremy Jeffries is decent. I think there's a lot of talent on the Royals. Whether or not they pan out this year is a gamble, but I'm going to gamble on them because I'm sure they're like 90-1 in Vegas.
I think you're losing your mind.
Well, let's
Giants,
see.
Giants, Royals. At least mine's the Reds, Tigers.
Yeah, well, you know, like me, I like those 50-1 shots.
All right, breakout player of the year, player to watch.
Albert Pujols. breakout player of the year. Is it somebody that had a bad season last year? What are you thinking?
Just somebody who put it together. It's been kind of struggling.
You know, that's a tough one. Why don't you say yours first?
Mine's going to be Anthony Rizzo.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. I don't know if I see that, but he's still in the Padres, right?
Yep.
So is he going to be starting?
He will be once he hits the cover off the ball and he makes me look good.
You think so? You think he's going to?
I think he's going to be. I mean, I actually don't even. I just that guy. He's a good player. He's gonna put it together.
Think so? All right. Well, I you know, I'm gonna go along those same lines.
You're going based on the home run totals and spring training.
No, I'm just looking as I'm talking here, but I, you know, along that same lines, I don't know if it's a complete breakout because both your guy and the guy I'm gonna pick didn't really play whole seasons last year, but I'm thinking Goldschmidt just because of his swing.
In the park
he plays in. He's got a lot of power. He's going to wow a lot of people. If you can pick up a Paul Goldschmidt auto cheap, which you probably can't. I mean, he's dipped a little bit now that the season's over, but I think Paul Goldschmidt has a good year. I think Arizona as a whole is going to have a bad year, but I think he's going to be the standout on that team.
What about rookie of the year predictions?
This is a really bold one, but I'm going to go Jaff Dacher from San Diego.
I'm going to go that Devin Murasako.
I mean, the obvious one would be like a Matt Moore, because I think, you know, I think he's still considered a rookie. He didn't
going catcher for the Reds.
Yeah, I'm going left fielder for San Diego, who's been, they say he's pretty raw, Jaff Dacher, another guy you can get real cheap, but that's going to be my
Devin Murasako.
Should probably learn to say his name
maybe
before you pick him.
Yeah, that guy's gonna do something.
But it looks like we're gonna end the podcast on Ryan Braun. Last I heard is he got off of it, right?
Got off. Found a flaw in the system. Basically, I guess the sample was taken by the FedEx, or taken by the guy who collects it, and he left it at his house because he didn't want to leave it at FedEx for over the weekend. And wow, they found that flaw, and Ryan Braun was like, his lawyers were all, well, it could have been tampered. Because it was at
the How did they prove that the guy, it was at his house?
Because the guy admitted, he's like, I basically took it because I didn't want to leave. I'd rather have it with me than have a sample sitting in a FedEx.
So yeah, he just put his, like, right next to his coffee, there was a Ryan Braun urine sample.
Well, it's probably in a box. But, wow. Yeah, that's, I mean.
Did the FedEx guy know what was in there? Or he just.
No, I mean, I don't, probably not.
That's weird.
So I guess he could have left it at FedEx, but I mean, who would sabotage Ryan Braun? I mean, he never.
Or they knew.
They found a flaw in the system. It was Major League Baseball, I mean, fought it. It was Ryan Braun's lawyers who got him off.
Well, who's to say that Ryan Braun knew he's going to fail it? I mean, he just, the timing.
It was during the playoffs last year is when they did it.
Well, who's to say he didn't, like, basically pay somebody to sit outside FedEx and go, hey, take this home. We're going to give you, like, $200,000 to keep it at your house for a night.
It wasn't the FedEx guy. It was a guy hired by Major League Baseball who basically holds on to the – he basically
– So he probably wouldn't have
– So basically he went and picked it up at FedEx instead of leaving it there over a weekend.
Huh.
So –
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look like he's been juicing.
Yeah,
he's not a big guy.
He's a juicer.
You think so?
He hits 40 home runs a year.
It's true.
And he's not a big guy.
Yeah.
But the only thing that does suck for him is that
he's got to live with it.
No, I mean he's innocent. I mean, he's found innocent. He's not being reprimanded.
Yeah.
But he did win the NL MVP, and he wasn't able to really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be that asterisk next to his name.
Yeah.
Because it was a dirty piss test. Did you think, I mean, honestly, did the guy take it out of the box and go, I'm going to pour some stuff in there?
Absolutely.
I mean, what
not.
Are the chances of that?
Absolutely not. Ryan Braun's got some good lawyers.
I'm sure the guy that, yeah, exactly. I'm sure the guy that held the urine sample makes $100,000 a year and it ain't worth the money to tamper with it.
Yeah.
So. Well, props to you, Ryan Braun, for figuring out how to beat the system. But I think for that reason, and you guys losing Prince Fielder, I think the Brewers are going to be the last place. And they have no pitching.
I think the Brewers are about five games under 500.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to lose 100 games.
Yeah.
That's going to be Seattle.
Nope. I'm going to be a proud owner of $20 very soon. I think that pretty much rounds out the podcast. Everybody's excited for baseball. We're going to be back with another episode when we're in Vegas doing number 15 from the summit, telling you guys about the summit, and hopefully having some awesome guest interviews. So till now, peace out. Keep ripping those packs. Keep watching baseball and football or whatever's on, and have a good one.
Later.
MojoBreak.com.